25 to the pass. Hold it. Defense, number 33. 5-yard penalty. Automatic. First down.
Greetings and welcome to the Roger Goodgrove's officiating podcast. I'm your host, Sukhdeep Pooney, and we have the main man, Roger, here with us today. How's it going, Roger?
Yeah, very good, thanks, Suk.
No worries. Slight delay on the recording because we had a plumbing situation that needed sorting, yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, my new house, I've unfortunately had to have a plumber out for the boiler, so all things keep going wrong, but you know, the usual things.
Yeah, hope you told him to pipe down, though. Sorry, I know I used that one before in an earlier conversation, but I thought just for our listeners, because they need to know about my puns, and I need something to cheer myself up because the Bucks are rubbish, basically. So,
well, you know. Their record is still reasonable, and you'd take it over the Jets, wouldn't you?
Oh, 100%, 100%. Yeah, but we're here to talk about the officiating for week 11. Week 11.
No, flying by, isn't it?
Yeah, so a lot of different things to talk about, which we absolutely love, but not long to go to the nitty gritty time. We're going to kick start now. The first one we're going to talk about, I'm sure we would have had a lot of requests for this one, was the incident between the Bengals and the Washington football team. Now, this went on for quite a while, didn't it, in terms of the officiating, a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, changing of minds. So, Roger, talk us through what happened. Okay. So this was the Bengals on the, obviously in the red zone.
Yeah, so the Bengals are going in to score. What happened was that the QB fumbled the ball forward into the end zone, was scooped up by Washington.
Yeah.
And then ran out a couple of yards, knocked back into the end zone, where it was recovered again by Washington. The ruling on the field was that scoop up in the end zone was possessing the ball, and therefore when the defender got 2 yards out and the ball was knocked back into the end zone, the responsibility for the ball being in the end zone is with that player. And therefore, it's going back into the defense's end zone and is resulted in a safety. Went to replay. And the important thing that we've talked about, in fact, every week, I think, which is when is possession? And, you know, we keep going over it. Possession is control of the ball, 2 feet or another body part, and time to do something else. A football move, defend themselves, etc. So if you re-look at that play, the player who scooped up in the end zone certainly touched the ball, certainly had a couple of hands on it, but he didn't have possession by firm control, 2 feet, and time to do something else before the ball was knocked out of his hands. And therefore, from a replay point of view, that was never a possession. It was just a continuation of the muff that happened by the quarterback. So it was muffed into the end zone, continued to be muffed out of the end zone, and then muffed back into the end zone. All in all, the impetus for the ball being in the end zone, because nobody else possessed it, was the quarterback muffing it forward. Therefore, it would go back to being a touchback.
Of course. And it was, you're absolutely right there. I mean, I don't know why it took so long for the officials to make that decision, because when you look at that replay, you can see I wouldn't even say he has his hands on it. He literally touches the balls with both his hands and literally just kind of scoops the ball up in the air, and the ball's still fumbling all over the place, isn't it?
That's the thing. I mean, there's so much going on that play. You can understand why they wanted to get together and make sure what they saw or what they thought they saw was what actually happened. So they're conferring with each other to make sure that they all saw what they thought they saw, and nobody has a different viewpoint that categorically says the player had control of the ball. So it's understandable to get together, and certainly in that sort of circumstance where there's so much going on, to get together with each other and say, right, okay, this is what I had. And does anybody have anything different? And obviously what they ruled on the field, which was in an instant, was that the player scooped the ball up and did have possession. But, you know, we know replay, it's a lot easier to slow things down and say, well, actually, no, he never had control of that ball. Therefore, that's not a possession, not a fumble again. Therefore, it just goes back to the original muff into the end zone.
Exactly. Well, as long as they get the right decision at the end, I guess that's all that matters.
Look, at the end of the day, that's why replay's there. These plays are very difficult. I mean, let's not, you know, everybody looked at that the first time and went, what went on? So much going on the play.
Yeah.
And it's understandable that you wouldn't necessarily get the right result, but that's why we have replay. So it did its job.
100%. Well, we're going to move on to the next game, which is between the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens. So I believe this was in the third quarter, 10 minutes 45 into the third quarter. So this was a face mask incident against the Titans, but a lot of calls that maybe it should have gone the other way round, well, Roger.
This is an interesting one, because often what you'll see as a runner goes downfield and a defender comes in to tackle them, the runner will hand off, put hand into the face mask of the defender and push them away. And on this particular play, we had that. And we also had the defender grab hold of the runner's face mask and pull them towards the ground. Now, so the important reason I wanted to bring this in was to differentiate contact and a foul. It's not illegal to touch the face mask. It's illegal to grab and pull or twist the face mask. And that's the important differentiation between those two. So both touched each other's face cages, but one of them twisted and pulled, the other one pushed it away.
Yeah, no, you see it with the stiff arms as well sometimes.
Exactly. And there were plays on that in this weekend where the offense were called for it. People say, oh, the offense are never called for it, but that's not true. They are. But there is a difference between the contact and contact that is a foul.
Yeah, 100%. So this is another incident. The next one we're going to talk about is involving the Seahawks and the Cardinals match. So this was given as a safety. So this was a hold on, I think it was J.R. Sweezy of the Seahawks, which resulted in obviously a 2 point. Talk about this one, Roger, because we very rarely see this, but this must drive coaches nuts, right? Seeing something like this happen.
Yeah, indeed. Well, first thing, while we're talking about this, it's worth just talking about penalty enforcement while we're just generally picking this one up. Most times when you see a hold, the penalty, if it's behind the line of scrimmage that the hold actually happened, will be enforced from the line of scrimmage for the 10 yards back. We have particular examples where a holding in the end zone becomes a safety. So it is a specific mention of in the penalty statements about what the enforcement should be for the foul. And if you look at the principle for it, basically, the defender is coming through to try and tackle the quarterback who's in the end zone. Obviously, if they're not held, then potentially that's a sack in the end zone resulting in the safety. And that's the logic behind what it is. Now, the question mark on this particular play that people have asked about is the holding started before the defender got into the end zone. So, and that's a good question. So when does the penalty enforcement actually happen? And similar to what we talked about in terms of face masks, it's not the initial contact that potentially was the foul. It was when the restriction occurred. So the defender certainly stuck his arm outside his body to try and get to the defender, but the defender can rush past that. That isn't a foul. It's only when the restriction occurs that that then becomes a hold. And I think it's reasonable to say that in this example, the contact happened outside of the end zone, but once the defender looked like he was getting past the offensive lineman, that's when he restricted him, and therefore that's when the penalty should be called. Penalty for holding in the end zone on the pass is a safety.
Yeah, you have it, folks. So, yep, just be careful out there, folks, especially when you're that close to, you know, the line. You've got to be it's going to, like I said, for me, it just drives me nuts being a fan of, you know, seeing that happen. There's plenty
The reason, going back to your earlier statement there, you don't see it very often. And one of the things why you don't see it very often is that the officials are taught, wherever possible, to try and make it happen in the field of play. So if there is initial contact that is a restriction in the field of play that continues into the end zone, call it back in the field of play. But this particular one, it actually contact occurred, but the restriction didn't happen until it was in the end zone.
Fantastic. So the next game we're going to talk about is between the Vikings and the Cowboys. So this was a fake punt attempt by the Vikings, which was actually successful. However, there was no...
Yeah, unfortunately. So what we had, usual punt formation. We have a guy far out on the sideline who's the gunner, designed to go downfield to try and tackle the person who gets the punt at the end of the play. And what we had was the person covering the gunner then goes to try and run to block the kick. The gunner, seeing this happen, waves frantically at the punter to say, hey, I'm going to be open. I've got nobody covering me. And he tries to get wider by moving towards his right, towards the sideline, to give himself a better angle on the play. Unfortunately, because he actually starts moving out, this becomes a shift rather than he's set in position, and he never then reset. Yeah. And so, therefore, it's an illegal shift. So whilst it was a completed pass, unfortunately, because of his excitement, he then tried to get further out. He ended up not setting on the play. So a good play that was brought back by somebody's excitement, unfortunately.
Yeah. Is that down more to then, I mean, could you say he was sort of fooled by sort of Dallas then at that point in terms of the way they... sort of shifted or...
I think it's like all things, you know, when you stunt and when you try and blitz, you're trying to make them see one thing and then you're trying to do something else so that they don't cover it. And so they look like they were covering the gunner, but then he blitzes to try and block the punt. Minnesota were good to pick that up, realize that they had an opportunity here to throw the ball instead because the gunner was no longer covered and he was, in effect, a wide receiver then. Unfortunately, just in his excitement, he forgot the basic rules of needing to be still at the snap.
Yeah. Bless him.
Yeah.
I know. Such a silly, you know, thing. And obviously, at the end of the day, also, you know, when you haven't won the game as well, that could have been the difference in winning and losing. So, you know, they'll be kicking themselves for that, especially when they've been on a decent run prior to this Cowboys defeat. And the next game we're going to talk about is between the Lions and the Panthers. Now, the Lions didn't have much to
nothing to shout about, unfortunately, this game, was there?
Yeah. And this just only sort of compounded their misery, I guess, with this.
Yeah, it's another trick play, if you can call a punt that wasn't a trick play, because it wasn't an intentional trick, however it ended up being. I mean, in this example here, we had the Lions attempting a trick play. It was a great trick play in terms of the execution of it. Basically, it was a lovely 51-yard rainbow by Matthew Stafford to Marvin Jones. Unfortunately, we had what's known as an illegal formation. And we have, as we've talked about in the past, a requirement for the NFL specifically that people on the end of a line of scrimmage need to be eligible receivers. And people inside those eligible receivers need to be ineligible. And unfortunately for the Lions, they had the tight end covered up by the wide receiver, making that an illegal formation. And people have said, well, but the guy that was inside didn't go downfield to catch the pass. He just blocked on the play. And that would be correct in the college game. You're allowed to actually have that formation, and it's not a foul just because you have the formation. It's only a foul if the interior receiver goes downfield and therefore is ineligible downfield. Unfortunately, the NFL game is slightly different in that it's a formation foul. As soon as the snap happens, it doesn't matter what you run off it. It's a foul at that point, and therefore it came back with a penalty.
You know, man. Thank you for that, Roger. And now we're going to be talking about a game that I quite frankly couldn't care any less about, but we've got the Rams and the Bucks. But there was some very, very key officiating calls made in this particular game. So one in particular we're going to talk about is the incomplete pass from Brady, which was in the end zone, or shall we say in Bucks' own half. And you've also got a couple of other examples of other teams having similar incomplete passes and then being challenged as being fumbles. Is that right,
it
Roger?
Is indeed. Now, being a Bucks fan yourself, yeah, I can understand why you don't really want to concentrate too much on this game. But I understand your son is a Rams fan, so at least one person's happy in the household.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's just so much, so much on this game, because even the Rams kicker used to be with the Bucks, and funnily enough, he and I obviously have been friends for the best part of a year. Those of you who listen to the podcast, and yeah, literally just prior to us starting this podcast, I sent him a message saying, "I know I've not messaged you since you've joined the Rams, but just wanted to say congratulations on the win, and you know, good luck with the Rams." So he was quite appreciative of that. Matt Gay was, but yeah, it was very, very hard for me to send a message to him.
You're the
honest.
Bigger man. I like it. Yeah. Anyway, so coming back to the game, what we had is we had Tom Brady dropping into the end zone, looking to try and get a pass. We had defenders bearing down on him. And as he was trying to make that pass, then the defender's arm hit his arm. And the question mark is he passing the ball or is it knocked out and a fumble? Now, not only did we have this one in the Tampa Bay game, we had a couple of other instances this weekend of similar play situations. We had Rivers for the Colts, who originally a similar situation was ruled as a fumble, and then replay got involved and then overturned it to an incomplete pass. And then we had Baltimore-Tennessee game with Tannehill. His was actually ruled as a fumble that went out of bounds. Because it wasn't a critical play situation, nobody paid particular attention to that Tannehill one, but they're all of very similar ilk. So let's have a look at what we need to determine in order to rule consistently on these. And this is where I think the officiating department and particularly the guys with the white hat, the referees, need to obviously concentrate on, which is the consistency of ruling on these. In order to have a forward pass rather than a fumble, the quarterback's hand, not his arm, but his hand needs to be coming forward with control of the ball prior to the ball coming loose. And in all three circumstances of those three plays, the Brady one, the Rivers one, and the Tannehill one, all of them have very marginally the hand coming forward with control. So all correctly should be ruled as a forward pass that then falls incomplete. If the ball's out before the hand starts moving forward or there is no control when that hand starts going forward, then they would be correctly a fumble. But they were ruled correctly on the field as an incomplete pass because the hand was coming forward.
Yeah. That's fair enough. And yeah, we probably see these in most games, to be honest, but don't always sort of pay attention to it. But obviously interesting that the Rams did feel the need to challenge for that one. I thought it was a bit of a...
Yeah, you can understand why they would, but it's a very difficult one to overturn. As we've talked before about the role of replay, replay is there to turn over the clear and obvious incorrect calls on the field. And the call on the field was that it was an incomplete pass. Therefore, in order to overturn it, there needs to be clear and obvious evidence that it wasn't that. And it is marginal. It's very close. It's very difficult to call on. But I think it's correct that there was hand movement coming forward. And that at the time, he had a little bit of control on the ball. So it was correctly ruled. Yeah. And therefore, they're not going to win that overturn.
That's fine. And the next one we're going to talk about is the Tom Brady illegal pass. Now, I know Tom Brady's been in the game, you know, for a very long time, so you'd think he'd sort of know the rules, but then you also have to think at the heat of the moment.
Wasn't this the same Tom Brady that wondered why he didn't have five downs or what?
Yeah, that's it. So I'm just wondering what's going on there with good old Tom here, because with this particular one, I think it's 3rd and 10, the play was, to be honest. And the ball hits a Rams defender, falls straight back to Brady, so the ball's not on the ground. And then Brady, rather than obviously going for maybe like a running play, I don't suppose there was much room for him to manoeuvre anywhere anyway, he decides to throw it straight back and to Mike Evans.
I'll give Brady the benefit of the doubt here, which is he was very smart in that he threw the ball, it hit the defender's arm and came directly to him. And in an instant, he threw it again. And I wonder whether he anticipated that nobody had particularly seen the first one hit the defender's arm and they thought he was just pumping the ball to pull off the defense and then threw it again. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, and he thought he could get away with it, but I'm sure he knows that 2 forward passes in a down aren't allowed.
But surely someone would have seen.
Well, they did, and it's funny actually, because people have mentioned on Facebook, they said it was the referee that called that. Well, it isn't actually the referee's call on that play. It's the guy who's on the line of scrimmage who's looking for that, because they all know whether the original pass was forward and also if there was a second forward pass. So it was actually flagged by the wing officials. But the weird thing about this play was not so much that it was 2 forward passes, because you see that occasionally, and in the XFL, of course, it's a legal play. You can have 2 forward passes. The weird thing about this was the penalty enforcement or non-penalty enforcement. So what we had was obviously an illegal forward pass, and we're going to say, well, the Rams have the option to actually enforce the penalty and have 3rd down repeated. Or, in the case of what happened here, the pass to Evans resulted in being 2 yards short of the line to gain, and therefore ignoring what happened on the play penalty wise, then it would then be 4th down with 2 yards to go. So the Rams thought, well, field position wise, it's unlikely that Tampa Bay will go for this on 4th down. Therefore, we'll decline the penalty, even though it's a weird one that you'd expect to be automatically accepted, and decline that penalty and take 4th down instead. And that's the option for the team that are offended against. They can always decline the penalty and take the result of the play. Now, the result of the play in this example was a forward pass to Evans. It would have been illegal and would have come back if they'd wanted it to, but they didn't want it to, and therefore they'd let it go. Yeah. Another weird part of it was statistically, because the penalty was declined, the first pass for the -9 yards, Brady to Brady, doesn't actually count on statistics. So Brady not only doesn't lose the 9 yards forward pass, but he actually gets the 1 to Evans as well, because that was the result of the play.
Yeah. Exactly. And funny enough, you know, when you win your fantasy matchup by like a point, all those points count and that one. So, yeah, very, very, very vital that was for me. So at least there's something to shout about. The next one, going back to the same game, so this was in the 4th quarter, 10:32 left, I believe. So this was the return, which Chris Godwin had fumbled. However, there was something else going on prior to him fumbling the ball, which then resulted in a different decision.
So
being
we have a punt. And as we've discussed before, particularly on our side, kicks and things, there are certain rules restricting when the kicking team can touch the ball. So what we had was a punt downfield, and the punt returner was waiting to scoop up that ball. And just prior to him scooping up that ball, one of the kicking team touched it. The ball bounced into his knee. The punt returner, smartly, knowing that this is an illegal touching violation, not a penalty, and we'll come back to what happens next, scooped up the ball or attempted to scoop up the ball to try and run. Failed to do so, and then the Rams dived on the ball. Now, what we have here is a very smart punt returner who knows that the illegal touching violation gives the receiving team the option of taking the ball at that point of first touching. So he knew he was safe to try and scoop up that play, because if he fumbled it like he did, or he didn't get anywhere, then it would still be the option for the returning team to take the ball at the point of the illegal touching. So it looks like he was done something wrong, but he was actually doing something very clever, just didn't actually work out.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But yeah, like I say, it's something definitely different. You know, you don't always see that as well, but you know, like you say, smart play there at the end, or at least attempting to be smart anyway. So it's all good. But I think that's the, I think that's all the incidents for this week, isn't it, Roger?
Have I missed anything out? One, I'm just trying to think if we had. I know what it was. We're going to talk about. Just general about penalty enforcement and, you know, how things are compared to the previous year. And so we now have a new head of officiating with Walt Anderson taking over in the officiating department for Mal Riveron from day-to-day point of view. And one of the things that's been very noticeable this year is the lack of offensive holding penalties. And as a result of that, there has been lots more scoring by the offense. Which is always good. So high-scoring games, always entertaining. Funnily enough, though, in relation to that, was that although there's been lots less holding fouls than normal, we had the Colts game this weekend, and they actually had 9 holding plays called on them in one game, which is, you know, you might have a couple normally in a typical game. So it was a tough one. Now, you could say, well, that goes against what we're talking about in terms of the trend, in that the officials are sort of told to be more lenient with holding. Whilst they're being more lenient, if there is an obvious holding penalty that has a direct impact on the play, then that is what they have to call. Now, it's just unfortunate that the Colts actually had 9 plays where there weren't really obvious holding. And so the officials did the right thing, calling those penalties, but it just 9 on one game is hard for any team to come back from.
No, 100%. I mean, I've seen the Bucs certainly get a number of holding calls on the offensive line, but yeah, I don't even think we've got that much. I remember the Bears game. Oh God, I'm reliving it now. No, I don't want to talk
probably
about it.
Best
yeah,
not.
I think the Bucks won it in terms of consecutive holding penalties in a row. Probably they had like 3 or 4 in the sequence, and I just remember wanting to smash the remote. It's terrible, but yeah, that was week 11 for you. So a very entertaining week. You know, especially compared to last week. I think last week was a bit dull of.
Yeah, I thought this week was going to be very light in terms of content, but certainly that last night, Monday night football game, certainly livened things up a bit. The other thing to mention, looking forward actually to week 12 and beyond, which is look out for roughing the passer calls. Now, a lot of people hate it because they want to see the quarterback sacked. And landing with your body weight on the quarterback has been something that has been a particular emphasis point for the NFL, looking after the quarterbacks. And one of the ways as defenders you can stop yourself being called for that penalty is you can brace yourself as you're falling so your body weight doesn't land on the quarterback. One of the things to be looking out for going forward is making sure that the defenders are not just putting their hands out looking like they're bracing, but they're actually taking their weight on that brace point. So not just sticking their arms out to try and avoid the penalty and still landing with their weight on the quarterback. So that's the thing to look out for. And you'll see that one called, I think, more often going forward as teams are trying to game the system.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll certainly keep an eye out for that, especially in the coming weeks, see how much protection there is for the QBs. You know, like you said, there's obviously great emphasis in looking after the quarterback, especially with all the injuries we're getting now. I mean, we saw although we know that was not, there was no foul play, but, you know, for example, the Joe Burrow injury as well. You know, we don't want to see that. We want to see the best players on the field, don't we? So thank you very much, guys, for listening. And thank you again, Roger, for, you know, giving us your time in discussing these incidents. That's great, Roger. And do you have any other plans for the week?
Thanksgiving, so it's always a good week in the NFL when you get, well, three games on a Thursday night to look forward to. And so I get to watch those games on Thursday night, and I'm not doing anything Friday morning, so I'll watch the late game first thing. So always a good week.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm working Thursday night. Well, when I say Thursday night, I'm working Thursday till 7 o'clock. And then, obviously, I'm work the next day. So I will catch most of the games. But I think even the early game, I will catch it. What I would normally do is... Well, actually, what I'd normally do is if I'm working in the office, I'd probably watch it on my phone. But obviously, now that I've been working from home... I suppose I can still watch it, really, whilst still being productive. I'm sure you will be. Yeah, my manager doesn't mind. He's not silly, so I can share that with our listening audience. I can multitask, so I can do two things at once. So you know, it's all good. But yeah, no, that's great, Roger. Thank you very much for your time again. We've had a few issues this morning with the sound, so I do apologize if there's any if this impacted your listening experience, but hopefully we'll be able to get it sorted next week. But yeah, thank you very much for listening, guys. Yeah. And take care.